Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I want to start just by thanking the organization for not only inviting me as moderator of this panel, but actually for bringing this event to our region. As it has been mentioned during the conference, the Dominican Republic is a perfect example of the recovery of the reactivation of aviation in the region. So what better place to host this event than Santo Domingo? Thank you very much. And we have spoken about connectivity, about the challenges. Today, I'm joined by a group of aviation executives and leaders that will, from different perspectives, we're going to hear from them what challenges and opportunities we have of working towards more connectivity in Latin America and the Caribbean. So please welcome our speakers. We have Rafael Echevarne, General Director of Airports Council International Latin America and Caribbean, Wagner Ricardo, Airline Strategy Director of the Americas for Embraer, Oscar David Unas, Head of Planning of Satena from Colombia, Tracy Cooper, Managing Director of Bahamas Air, and Cesarina Buchoms, Airport Business Director of Sky High Dominicana. And as I was mentioning, we've heard the different challenges in the past in the connectivity in Caribbean due to various factors, whether it's high passenger tourism tax, lack of permits to operate between the islands, airport infrastructure with more opportunities of improvement. We've talked about this. Now let's focus on the positive side. And I want to start with you, Cesarina, as a local carrier in Dominican Republic. And since the recovery, Sky High has actually strengthened its network through its hub here in Dominican Republic. Can you tell us a bit about that experience for Sky High Dominicana?
Yes. Hi to everyone here in present, and thank you, Mercy. Yes, that question is very good because from the pandemic, let me start talking about Sky High. Sky High is the Dominican Republic airline with our station in Santo Domingo. We started operating in the Caribbean and in the islands. We fly to Aruba, to Curaçao, Bonaire, St. Kitts, Tortola, Martinica, Guadalupe. But from the pandemic, we have increased our connectivity because before we have the connection in the Caribbean, bringing passengers to Santo Domingo from the island, and also connecting those passengers with other airlines that also operates in Santo Domingo. So we started the connection in the Caribbean with those points. But from the pandemic, we also opened more destinies using our passengers from the islands, connecting to Caracas, connecting to Miami, connecting to Providence, connecting also, we are opening this Friday, French Guiana. So the network that we have right now in Santo Domingo is connecting all the passengers that maybe cannot connect for direct flights to bigger airlines that operates in Santo Domingo. We bring those passengers to Santo Domingo, but we also can connect right now with also our own flights. So
that's excellent. But tell us, what are the key factors that you consider have been important to kind of help in that road?
The factor is that tourism has increased and also it has been reconnecting everything. So the person needs the connection. Also, the good point for Sky High is that when we open those islands, people doesn't have to necessarily connect through Miami to go to the islands. So we have a good aircraft to connect in only 1 hour going from the island to Dominican Republic.
So you were mentioning the fleet, the aircraft, and I want Wagner here to step up and tell us a little bit about the work you've done with Sky High.
Yes, thank you. First of all, thank you very much for inviting us to be here and talk in this conference, especially talking about regional connectivity. It's basically at Embraer DNA to talk about regional aviation and to help connectivity throughout the world. And especially with Sky High for us, it's really proud for us. It's the first e-jet operator in the Caribbean. So we have a fleet of EU-145s, of Brazilians, of Bandeirantes, and it's the first e-jet operator. And for us, it's really good to see the success of Sky High and how it is increasing, how our craft and our fleet is helping them to improve their network and their footprint. I tell you that the way we proceed in terms of fleets of the network with the airlines is that we need to work together. We need to understand what are the goals of the airlines, what are the necessities in terms of cash, of financing, to work really close to define the best way, the best fleet, the best purchase conditions, the best negotiations. And also, when the airline is starting or a new fleet, for example, in the case of the Sky High, they started to operate the 145s in the islands and shorter routes, and then we will discuss with them how they could have a bigger aircraft to fly longer routes and to connect to other destinations. It's a different fleet. So they need to train the pilots. They need to understand how the spare parts will work. So it's really a joint effort together with the airlines. That's what makes success. It's not only sell the aircraft. It's really to have this partnership.
Yes, that's correct. We have had a really good support with Embraer. As I said, we fly to many islands. Not every aircraft can go to many of them due to the road, due to many things. So we have to change the aircraft. We used to have the Embraer 145 that is a good aircraft to operate the islands. But as we have to increase the routes and have longest routes and has more passengers, we have to change to the Embraer E190. So, but the support that we have had received from Embraer is huge. So it has been a really difference because to have campaign with Embraer to do the bar, to train the pilots, to train our technicals. So they have been the 100% support. So thank you for that.
Excellent. Tracy, how about you? Bahamas Air, this year is accomplishing a great milestone, 50 years of operation. Congratulations on that. Has it been a similar history recently after the pandemic for Bahamas Air?
Well, as she's outlined, the network is coming into the Dominican Republic and going out. So they are reaching many locations, but the central point is Dominican Republic. Same thing for Bahamas Air, in that we, you know, the Bahamas is over 700 islands and keys. And within the Bahamas, they have a whole Caribbean by itself, in that I fly to over 13 destinations in the Bahamas alone. Nobody else does that except us and a few, one or two other carriers. But we also spread our wings over to the U.S. and into the Caribbean, into Haiti and Turks and Caicos and Cuba. We're also looking to possibly add in Barbados, but not as a connection to the Bahamas, but going into South Florida in July of this year. The problem is that, you know, and yes, we are celebrating 50 years. Let me talk about that a bit. When the government of the Bahamas and the Bahamas itself gained its independence in 1973, they established the National Airline Bahamas Air. It is fully owned by the government of Bahamas, and the intent was to provide transportation means between these many islands that we have, but also to bring in as a, you know, number one mainstay is the tourism industry, to bring in and open up the Bahamas to the world. I can say that has been very successful over those 50 years, and today we're still doing the same thing in providing a good transportation means around the Bahamas. So if anybody comes into the Bahamas, you could see a whole different aspect of the Bahamas, not just from coming into Nassau, but to the family of islands as well. But over those 50 years and today, we continue to provide that mandate. But as far as the Caribbean, and as you know, we'll continue to talk about today, it's a limited kind of thing when you're talking about fully connectivity within in and around the Caribbean. We take the Bahamas first. We've always done that, but now we're seeing that we have to do a little bit more than that moving forward.
And I want to go now to Oscar. It's a similar situation as Bahamas Air because it's also an Nassau airline, and you kind of do a social work connecting smaller destinations in Colombia. Tell us a little bit about that, the business model itself.
Okay, hi everyone, and thank you for the invitation. Satena is a company that has been in the market for 60 years, and now we have a special mission from the government that it's connect those regions in the country that doesn't have any other kind of transportations. We have a difficult geography for making streets, or we don't have enough rivers to get the cargo or the passengers to other cities or to other small towns. So since 1962, the government created an arm of the Air Force that was called Satena, and we started to operate in different kind of fleets, trying to get to the Amazonia, to the east of the country, to the Pacific cities in the Pacific Ocean, in the southwest. It's quite a challenging operation because you have to make a lot of investment in terms of fleet, because you can't connect all those regions with the same fleet. You need jets to get to the fairest areas, because in turboprop it's not efficient. But you need turboprop because you have routes that are from small branches, so you need another kind of fleet. And now we are working on a project that will improve the connectivity in the country, because 30 years ago we stopped getting the acquisition of a 19-seater fleet that was really necessary for those airports that are with lack of infrastructure and short runways, non-prepared runways. So many regions in the country are not connected because of that, because no one in the country has that fleet, only some charters or aerial taxis. So the government is giving us some capitalization to start those operations. And it's very important because one of the challenges of the country is that most of the airports that we operate are daily airports. So you are not as efficient as another kind of airlines. So you have to balance all the things. The government gave us a subsidy, an annual subsidy to cover the losses between the cost and the revenue that you can do. But it's hard. It's a hard business in Colombia. Obviously, we have big airlines that make the main connectivity between the big cities. But in terms of regional market, you have a lot of challenges that we are working on to give the people a better connectivity.
About those challenges and the reality in the Colombian market, recently we all know about the cease of operation of two important low-cost carriers. What are the plans of Satena to maybe cover the needs of those underserved destinations now in Colombia?
Yeah, the government has an initiative that is to support Satena, trying to cover those capacity that was lost by the operations suspended by Viva and Ultra. It was a hard thing for Colombia because together they put 23% of the market. So it's a big lose. And I think that even if Avianca or LATAM or Wingo or Copa Airlines put any additional routes in the market, there will be a lack of capacity. So the government is trying to give us those those resources to grow in fleet to cover those regions. Obviously, we have to be very smart because we don't want to compete with these bigger airlines because we don't have the same fleet. So we don't have the same expectations to compete. But we are trying to make point-to-point connectivity, especially in the Caribbean, because the cities that got more affected were Cartagena, Barranquilla, Santa Marta, San Andres. So there are routes that are very competitive for the big airlines, and they have international operators too. So we are looking for the best routes to cover that capacity that was lost in the few months ago. So we are thinking on it, but there are a lot of projects in this moment working for Satena. One of these is to cover that capacity, but the government wants to create an inter-border connectivity between Colombia and Venezuela, Colombia and Ecuador, Colombia and Panama, Colombia and Costa Rica. And that's quite a different operation that we have been used in the past. So I think it's a good challenge, and we are working on in the replacement of the Embraer 145 because their lifetime is over in 4 or 5 years. So we need a new fleet to cover all the long routes. We are working on it to get the best aircraft to do it.
So we have Wagner here to help on that as well. But what about airport infrastructure? You know, from these different smaller destinations, and I want to, you mentioned El Dorado's capacity, but also the smaller, so it's kind of a mix that you have to work on. What are the main challenges that you're facing?
Okay, the main challenge, obviously, Bogota is the biggest problem that Colombia has actually, because it's the main airport in the country, and it doesn't have any space to grow, actually. So they were working in a plan to get another airport outside Bogota, but you know, the traffic of Bogota is very complicated. So if you don't design any route to get to the airport, it will be very difficult for the people to get there. So one of the things that we are doing is creating new bases for operations out of Bogota, because obviously they will start to give more attention to the narrow body operations. And we, as a regional operator, we are putting some of our aircraft in different bases in Cali, Medellin, Villavicencio, Barranquilla, to connect those regions and start to reduce the operations in Bogota to doesn't get those problems. The government is making an effort actually in this development plan that was seen 15 days ago, and they are putting a lot of investment in airports because it's not only the infrastructure, the controllers, firefighters. You have to invest in security around the airports. You have to invest in capabilities in the airports because we have a lack of infrastructure that is very well known. So if you want to develop tourism, if you want to get more passengers, you have to improve your airports, because if it's not done, it's impossible to grow.
Of course. And speaking about the airports, of course, Rafael, in your presentation yesterday, you mentioned some of the challenges that we're facing in our region. You mentioned the operational capacity, especially during the peak hours. What are some of the solutions that you think we could implement?
Yeah, because thank you very much. So the operational limitations that I was referring to yesterday are very much centered on the big airports, like the problem that they have in Bogota, and also in some of the tourist airports, particularly in the Caribbean. That's where that problem is. Now, the type of capacity or infrastructure developments that you're referring to are not necessarily related to that. And here's where technology and the willingness and the openness of the markets really come in. For example, you know, very often I was recently in the Eastern Caribbean, and one of the first things that they were showing me about that new airport was the control tower. So, you know, I said to them, well, what about remote control towers? You know, why are you building a control tower here? Oh, well, you know, you need a control tower. No, you don't need a control tower as we know them traditionally. You know, you can actually have an airport with a remote control tower. You just need a pole and a camera on top of it, okay, to put it in simplistic terms. So we have to open up to technology and allow technology to facilitate the development of aviation in our part of the world. You know, countries like Sweden, Norway, the UK are already in very busy airports operating with remote towers. And that is one of the things that we are promoting here. So technology can actually play a very, very important role. And another thing is that we think very often traditionally that, you know, for a regional flight in Colombia, it has to go through Bogota. No, it doesn't have to go through Bogota. You don't have to concentrate all the traffic in Bogota. You know, one of the most beautiful things that came with the opening up, with the liberalization of air transportation in Europe, was the connectivity between regional cities. And that is not happening here. We have a country like, for example, Peru. In Peru, I think that there is only one airport other than Lima that has international services. Why is that? I presume, because of two reasons. Because first, the bilateral doesn't facilitate that. And the other thing is that we don't have regional airlines, okay? In the Eastern Caribbean, for example, the other day I found out from the director general of one group of islands in the Eastern Caribbean that they do not allow commercial operations with single engine aircraft. I said, are you telling me that you don't allow commercial operations with a caravan? No, we don't. Why? Oh, because it has one engine. I said, well, I mean, in what world do you live? You know, so we limit ourselves very much for the development of regional aviation. And I can tell you that ACI, as the representative of the airports industry, we really want to encourage the development of regional aviation, not necessarily only with single engine aircraft, but, you know, that there are two aspects. You know, one is the technology, and the other one is the liberalization of air transportation is absolutely essential. So why is it that when we talk about international flights between two countries, we only talk about the airlines of one country or the other country? What if Sky High were to operate between, say, Peru and Colombia? Today, it's not possible, probably. It is not possible, okay? Why is that? Because we don't have a liberalized air transportation network as you find it in Europe. So here we have the Comunidad Andina, Mercosur. We have all sorts of markets that we try to develop, and yet none of them have provided a solution for the opening up of the air transport market. So we believe very strongly in that. And then once that happens, do not worry, the infrastructure will be there. The cities, the tourist destinations will actually facilitate that. This type of event that we have here today is an example of the sort of thing that actually can happen. You know, all the incentives will be there. It's absolutely certain. That's the example, that's the experience and the reality of what happened in the US, in Europe, and other parts of the world.
Perfect. And that's exactly where I was going to. Liberalization, single Caribbean sky is something we've heard about for a long time, but no advances on the topic. The airlines' perspectives on this, what would be your expectations on working like that?
Okay, I'll take it. For the thing about moving in and around the Caribbean, I'm going to talk about that area, is that there's a lot of small population centers. And so even in trying to move from one to the next, what we're finding out is that there is more demand really for going outside of the countries. So, for instance, Bahamas Air has been talking to Barbados, and they're not talking about coming to the Bahamas or even going next door. They're talking about how could they get more airlift going into the U.S. that would provide their number one industry, which is tourism. And when we're talking to St. Lucia and Antigua, and all, really those are the lines of the conversations that the governments are pretty much placing more emphasis on. And again, because you may have within the Caribbean countries that have less than, you know, 2,000-3,000 persons, in some cases 20,000-30,000 persons as population center, then you're talking about a different type of airplane, you're talking about a different type of connectivity, and then of course you're talking about all of these different country is really one country is right next to the next or is right next to the next, and everybody have their own way of looking at things. All of them, the main squeeze or reason for revenue is really taxation through LFs, etc. So we're finding it a bit more difficult in supporting ourselves in intra-Caribbean travels more so than really helping, even when we're helping, that providing transportation means actually outside of the countries that the government is actually asking for.
So, Sarina, you mentioned to me earlier about what Sky High did during the lockdown. You started working on those permits that allowed today's growth. How was that process? And don't you think that with harmonization, liberalization would be much easier now?
Well, let me see if I understood correctly your question. But Sky High has been pioneered for many of the of our destinies that we already operate. But for to have those permits, those certification, it hasn't been difficult for us. For example, Sky High has FAA the 129 certification from 6 years ago. We right now operate to the United States to treat destinies. We take the advantage of the pandemic that all the frontier closed. So we took those time to get the certification for EASA, for the TCO. So right now we can operate to Europe. We are operating what Martinique and Guadeloupe. So to get the permissions to operate our new destinies, it hasn't been for us like difficult or negative position. So for Sky High, it hasn't been any negative situation.
Oscar, in your case, if that was the situation, if we had the open skies in the Caribbean, would Satena be interested in this market, see any potential?
Yeah, but we look for a lot of potential in the Caribbean and the Americas because we are now working on a project, for example, between Colombia and Ecuador. We have been talking, and I really agree with Rafael because, for example, we had a nice example between those two countries. Ecuador used to have an airline that was so similar to Satena, that was TAME. But it got closed after the pandemic, and they lost all the connectivity of the north of the country and the Amazonia. So we talked with them and we say, okay, we can do that connectivity if you want. Obviously, you have to give us some permissions about cabotage and about some things sorted to make it possible. But they are in a good receipt. They made a good receipt about the idea. And now we are working on some permissions and starting maybe with regular charters or something to get connectivity. For example, between the southwest of Colombia, Cali, Tumaco, Ipiales, Puerto Asís, to those regions in the north of Ecuador, Esmeraldas, Lago Agrio, Quito, Guayaquil. So you have a lot of opportunity between those cities, and it has another additional value because, for example, the economy in Ecuador is in dollars. So when the people from Ecuador go to Colombia, they have a nice power of acquisition. So they start to make really good business in Colombia, in the industrial, in the textile industry, in food, in coffee, even in tourism, because many agencies make plans of tourists in Colombia. They want us to cover that necessity. And the same thing happens, for example, in Costa Rica. We were talking this morning about that. And Costa Rica regional market is based mostly in caravan. So, and the cost of the ticket is very expensive for the tourist. So if, for example, we have an ATR based in San Andres, that it's 50 minutes from San Jose by flight. So if we can put some capacity between San Andres and Costa Rica, we can make a bridge, and the people, San Andres got benefit because it got tourists from another city and other passengers, and Costa Rica start to move more passengers to the tourists in the country. Obviously in Limon too, in the coast, we have some expectations, maybe in Panama and in the Caribbean. Obviously, if you want to operate in the Caribbean, you have to think about the fleet because regional jets, for example, the 145 has a nice capacity for this kind of operation because 50 seats are easy to fill. But when you start to see the needs that the country puts in the regulations or something like that, you find a lot of walls between the intention and the decision. So I think if we could break those walls, we can start to improve the connectivity in all the Caribbean and in the Americas. And there's a lot of opportunities, potential, but I think we have to organize ourselves and try to put these things going on in a positive way.
Definitely, it's an initiative, a project that could benefit a lot of the region. And Rafael, you had an example. You mentioned Europe, and even Spain has a success story, which is nothing to do. It's not a You mentioned a Spanish airline, the one that has the most operation.
No, I was saying that, for example, in the case of Spain, just as an example, the number one carrier within Spain is an Irish carrier. Okay, but that's because, of course, the air transport market in Europe has been taken to the extreme, absolute total liberalization, including cabotage, you know, and eighth and ninth freedoms. Okay, I'm not saying that we have to go all the way to eighth and ninth freedoms here, because I know some people will have kittens, you know, if we say that. But anyway, you know, but we can leave it at seventh freedom. Okay, the possibility of sky high to fly between other countries, the combination of, seventh freedom, basically. All right. And that is actually the beauty of it. There are airlines in Europe that do not have a place of residence as such. For example, there's an airline that many of you probably don't know, but those friends of ours from France, they know very well, Volotea. Volotea specializes in connecting regional, you know, secondary and tertiary cities, you know, outside its home country. I think it's a Spanish registered airline, but actually they fly between, say, Greece and France. I'm just making that up, but basically that's the sort of thing, you know. And that's the beauty. That is what is missing here from my point of view. Okay.
And it has worked. It's in Central America, recently with Cosesna, it has been done like that. So definitely could apply to the Caribbean as well. And we've mentioned the fleet, Wagner. What would you say are best practices, maybe from other regions that could apply in Latin America and the Caribbean?
Yes, we talked a lot about connectivity, about serving regional cities, the smaller cities. And it's all about when you take, for example, I think yesterday Jaime mentioned and some people mentioned about how the Latin American general has grown faster than other regions or in a good pace. On the other hand, if you take, for example, the number of routes, airlines are still flying the same trunk routes, competing with each other. We see the collapse in airlines in Colombia. And if you see their network, they're basically flying same routes, competing, reducing fares to stimulate the traffic, which is good for passengers, of course, but there's a limit to that. In our view, it's because they don't have the right aircraft size for the demand. If you take, for example, US, the most developed market in the world, like 2.7 passengers travel per people per year, and there are more than 1,000 cities served by scheduled aviation in the US. The biggest city, the biggest country, the biggest economy. And if you take the average aircraft size in terms of it's 110 seats. It's a mix of regional aviation and narrow bodies. If you take Brazil, the biggest domestic market in Latin America, the average aircraft size is 106 seats. So it's a smaller market. Number of cities served in Brazil is 120 cities served by scheduled aviation. Because many of their lines are still operating with bigger narrow bodies that can serve only trunk routes. And usually, there are other reasons. For example, the level of the economy developed in the country, the infrastructure. But infrastructure is being developed. If you take, again, the example of Brazil, we have a lot of airports that were privatized recently. They are investing in these airports. But still, if you take, for example, the international flights, like 70%, 80% of the international flights are to Guarulhos. And Brazil is a big country. People from the Amazonia, from the northeast cities, they need to go to Guarulhos, then to fly international. So there are a lot of new opportunities if airlines are starting to change their business model to really operate some regional, as you mentioned about Bogota, it doesn't need to go to the same airport. It could go international flights to Manaus, for example, and then connect to regional to their cities nearby, and the same to Salvador, the same to Fortaleza. So there are opportunities and infrastructure in these examples are there. And infrastructure will come and will invest when the airlines take the right decision. What I'm saying is that what I believe in Embraer is that one size doesn't fit all. There are markets for turboprops. There are markets for narrow bodies. There are markets what we don't call anymore regional aircraft, called crossover aircraft. Because if you take, for example, the E2s, they are almost similar in size with the narrow bodies and in terms of comfort, but they can fly and they can be profitable with a smaller number of passengers. So they can fly to small density routes.
Let me say just one thing, because as you say, it is true that Latin America and the Caribbean is the fastest, is witnessing the fastest recovery in aviation in the world. Absolutely, no question about that. But let's not fool ourselves. Let's not think that that is okay, that everything is fantastic. Because as you say, there are many routes that have not really been restarted. Why is it then that we are recovering so fast? Because there is no other option. There is no alternative to go from A to B. I mean, in Europe or in the US or in China. In China, you can take a high-speed train. But in Latin America, not even between Rio and Sao Paulo, there is a high-speed train. They've been talking about it for ages, you know? I mean, for example, you can go from Paris to Barcelona on the high-speed train, or from London to Paris or to Brussels. There is no option here. So that's why we are recovering so fast, because people need to go back to business, okay? So I think that that's something that we shouldn't fool ourselves with this, okay? This is just basically should be the warning sign that, yes, aviation is absolutely essential. And as you were saying before about taxation, we totally agree. You know, we don't like the taxes that we see. There are some destinations in the Caribbean where the country says, welcome to my island, please, $80. Not in airport charges, in taxes, okay? And you say, and you are wondering why people are not coming? Well, you know, you're welcoming them with an $80 charge. Anyways.
Thank you, Rafael. And we still have time for questions from the audience. So if anyone wants to comment or add anything, now it's the time. Otherwise, I think we're wrapping up. I just want to thank our speakers. Two of the three airlines are ALTA members, Embraer as well. ACLEC, a partner since always, and Satena, hopefully soon, an ALTA member as well. Thank you, and it's been a pleasure speaking with you, hearing about your different perspectives on how we can work towards stronger connectivity in our region. Thank you, everyone.